A new thriller for dad is always a surefire hit. The Book Report recently chatted with a superstar of the genre. Readers, I'm thrilled to welcome Jeffrey Deaver back to the show. We've had the privilege of speaking with him several times. Jeffrey's a Book Report favorite. Jeffrey's written more than 30 novels, and his books are read in 150 countries. He's a former journalist, attorney, and folk singer of note. Today we'll be getting the inside story on his newest title, The Skin Collector. The book is a true sequel to his runaway bestseller, The Bone Collector, which, as you know, was a blockbuster film starring Denzel Washington and Angelina Jolie. Welcome, Jeffrey, and thanks for being back with us on The Book Report.
Delighted to be here, as always.
All right. Jeffrey, I need to congratulate you. Within the first two pages of The Skin Collector, you managed somehow to pull readers into the story and make us care about the girl who sadly becomes the skin collector's first victim. The wild ride begins. How do you do that?
It's my job to give readers the most engaging experience they can possibly have. I don't want my book, in fact, I don't want any book to be interesting. I want a book to be compelling. And, you know, part of that is I guess I call it premeditated ability to create conflict on almost every page so that we don't really know what's going to happen. We raise questions continually, we as authors, I mean. And I spend a huge amount of time structuring my stories, organizing them to make sure that element of, unanticipated conflict is going to be present. And that's what I did on really page one of the Skin Collector.
This book's bad guy is a tattoo artist. What intrigued you about tattooing to build a book around it?
I knew when I wrote The Bone Collector that I was going to intentionally leave several plot points open. The Bone Collector came out about 15 years ago. And I wasn't quite sure how I would resolve those plot points. These individuals who escaped at the end of The Bone Collector. Now, the bad guy was caught in that book. That's not really giving anything away. But the other characters disappeared, but they would come back occasionally, sort of teasing the New York City police and teasing the readers as well. And then finally I decided I probably should bring everything together. I wasn't quite sure how to do that. And I was, oddly enough, having lunch with my assistant, and a waitress came up to us, a charming young lady, and she happened to have a very interesting tattoo on her arm. And I thought right there, oh, I've been looking for a sequel to The Bone Collector. Skin Collector, that phrase occurred to me. The villain tattoos messages on his victims. So he doesn't collect the skin in the sense of cutting it off, but he just tattoos a cryptic message that taunts the police. And that's where the book came about. So I guess I will owe the inspiration to the waitress muse who was serving us lasagna, I think.
Did you actually speak with a multitude of tattoo artists to get your information?
Sure. It's very important when you're writing a book about a subject you're not familiar with personally to talk to experts, do book research, internet research. And I did talk to a number of both tattoo artists and people who have been inked and learned a great deal about it. And I have to say that my books are thrillers. They're commercial, popular fiction. And yet I do think it's important for authors of that genre to expand the book beyond the crime story itself. And I grew rather interested in the concept of body modification, and largely because Lincoln Rhyme, my hero in The Skin Collector, is a quadriplegic. So his body has sort of been ultimately modified, if you want to look at it that way. And I was really intrigued with the concept of why people modify their bodies, what kind of person will make that commitment, because, yes, it's possible to remove tattoos, but as one of my heroes in the book, a tattoo artist himself who helps the police solve the crimes, says, you really have to stand up to it. You have to experience the pain. You have to make the commitment that this is going to be a permanent change to your body. And I wanted to look at why people do that, why fashions come and go, And yet a tattoo or other piercing or actually scarification, which is another less popular form of body modification, why that remains so popular among the world's populations.
Hmm. You know, one thing that was so fascinating about the book was that the book's villain was intricately familiar with the tunnels and the underground of New York City. How did you become familiar with this network?
When I was living in Manhattan, this goes back over 20 years, I was fascinated with the city in all its aspects, including the infrastructure of New York. And the one interesting thing I learned was that because the streets have always been very congested and crowded, whether you're worrying about taxi cabs or traffic or pedestrians or horse-drawn carriages going back to the 19th century, there were a number of underground passageways and tunnels constructed for commercial purposes so that to cart goods to and from warehouses and manufacturing facilities, these tunnels would not require the workers to have to struggle through the crowded streets of New York. Those are primarily in downtown New York, but there are also huge networks of heating grids, steam tunnels, power tunnels, the subways, of course, existing and abandoned. And you can walk for miles under New York City following these tunnels. And I've been in some of them. You used to be able to take a tour. I don't know if you still can. This goes back many years. But I thought the first time I did that, oh, what a place to kill somebody. Of course, I'm speaking of my books. But I thought someday that's going to figure in my stories. And in The Skin Collector, indeed, the villain prowls through these tunnels and finds victims in such innocuous places as their laundry rooms or in parking garages. And my goal being to, really terrify my readers, thinking that something terrible could happen if they go down to do their laundry.
Yeah, you certainly did. And speaking of terrifying, you also take on a fringe militia group in the book. Did these groups scare the daylights out of you?
You bet they do. You know, we and after 9/11 and other incidents of terrorism, tend to focus on radical Islamic fundamentalist terrorist movements. Certainly a threat. We know that it's a problem throughout the world. But there are far more active domestic terror and militia organizations in America who are equally intent on destroying the political structure of the United States as non-state terrorists who may have more of a religious motive. And these outfits are carefully monitored by the FBI and the police, and nonetheless they provide a continual source of threat. Look at the Oklahoma City bombing performed by one of these organizations, a fellow who was Timothy McVeigh, who was operating on his own, but had been affiliated with organizations of that sort. And I thought, well, that's another source of evil we have to be aware of in this crazy life of ours.
Yeah. You know, one thing that always interested me as a reader, crime scenes can be so gruesome. Where do you draw the line when writing about them so that you don't turn off readers?
A very good point. My job is to entertain readers. I want people to have a fun, cathartic experience. In my books, the bad guys never get away with anything. They may escape temporarily. You will never see violence against children, never see violence against animals. You'll never see sexual violence. In fact, the crimes largely occur off camera, I would say. We don't see them. We see the aftermath of crime. But I follow Alfred Hitchcock's approach, which was to create suspense and not shock the audience with gore. Gore is easy to do. I think it's also a creative failing. So I'm very careful to step back from a scene that I think would be troubling and also a scene that I think would be creatively lazy. It's harder to create suspense, but that's what I want to do.
Oh, good point. And are you working on the next in the series or a standalone novel? Do you write more than one book at one time?
I do indeed. And the presently, I'm working on the new Catherine Dance book. Now, she's my other character. She's my police officer from California, who's a kinesics expert, body language expert. And she will be back in, that's next year, 2015. And then I am outlining the Lincoln Rhyme book for 2016. So I'll be alternating the two of them, but also working on another standalone that will appear at some point in the next couple of years.
I want to thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you for a wonderfully compelling book.
Well, thank you, Elaine. You take care now.
All righty. Bye.